This is the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, number 46. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
I'm Kevin Sampath in Australia. Coming up on the show, we explore into the theme of laws and umpiring. Ian Pond shares another fast bowling tip with us, and as usual, we answer your questions. Well, David, I'm sure you're crying already that your season's over, but we have a week coming up to our season, and we're all really nervous at the moment, as I'm sure you would have been this time about a few months ago. How have you been handling the end of your season?
Well, it's been quite good, actually. It's been nice to take a step back and take a little bit of a week off cricket. I'm a bit of a cricket obsessive, as you know, Kevin. It's nice to sort of take a step back and not think about it for a little while. So yeah, I've had pretty much a week off thinking about cricket. I kept up with the one day internationals, England Australia one day internationals, and yep. I've been working on some things for Pitch Vision Academy, but I've not really been thinking about my own game or worrying about what I'm going to do on Saturday or all those things that get into your head during the cricket season. So it's been nice to take some time off, really. But I'm already starting to miss it, and I'm sure within a couple of weeks I'll be praying for the spring to come around again.
Yeah, well, David, this week our theme is about laws and umpiring. And as a keeper and as a batsman, I'm sure you would have had lots of disagreements with the umpires. How does the umpiring system in your league work?
Well, in the first team, all the way down the divisions, we have a list of neutral umpires who are appointed at the start of the season, and then you get two umpires allocated to each game throughout the season. So, yeah. You know, they're properly qualified ECB umpires. So that's quite good. You don't have to worry about it too much. But at the lower levels, in the second team level and that kind of thing, there's no requirement for those umpires. And we probably wouldn't be able to afford to pay them, because you obviously got to pay their travel expenses and all the rest of it. So,
yeah, that's right.
So we don't have any umpires in the second team at all, or very rarely. You know, unless you're lucky, you know, you might get someone who's someone who's come to watch the game, and they said, "Oh yeah, I'll do it." You know, but other than that, it's pretty much up to the players of the batting team to go out and do a stint of 10 or 15 overs and change round every now and again, which, as you can imagine, can possibly cause some problems. I mean, luckily, the spirit that most of our games are played in is pretty good. You know, no one takes it so seriously that there's any major problems. But but you do get times when there's a bit of dissent and a bit of anger. I mean, I do quite a bit of umpiring because I quite enjoy it. You know, if you umpire, then you don't have to score. That's the other trick, and I prefer to umpire than score. So so I do quite a bit of umpiring, and most people are fine. You know, they're nice enough about it. But you do get the old one who gets a bit cross with you sometimes if you give a not out decision when they think it's out LBW.
Yeah.
Because the underlying assumption, of course, is, well, he's not going to give out OBW because he's his teammate. So, you know, that, I mean, I'm sure that happens as well. I'm sure it happens from time to time where you know it's out plumb and you just say, "No, sorry," and that's not, I mean, I don't do that. I wouldn't do that. I always try and be as fair as possible. But I'm sure that does happen from time to time. So, yeah, it can be tricky. How does your system work?
We do get appointed umpires for sort of the notable games. So that's the semis and the finals and any other sort of high-ranked games in the season. But basically, the way our league works is that other teams have to appoint two players from their team to umpire during their bye. So say for our bye, we have to send six players to umpire three different games. And if we don't do that, we lose 10 points, basically, which is... So there's sort of an incentive to send umpires out as well. So when we play, usually we get players from other teams from lower grades come and umpire us, right. Which can be pretty interesting at times because we have got the odd players who sort of don't know the rules.
Right.
And then we do have the guys that are really sort of, they know what they're doing. So it has its lows and its highs at moments. But there have been times where they just send one guy over or no guys at all, and we have to sort of fill in players like happens in your leagues. And
right.
Yeah, there have been moments where I've been a square leg, and one of my mates was on 42 or something, and I gave him run out. And after the game, he came and had a chat to me. He's like, why did you give me out? And there's sort of a fine line. Like, you don't want to let down your mates, but you have to be fair as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's tricky. So you've gone to games just to umpire the entire match then, I take it then?
Yeah, that's right. It's been good. As a bowler, as you've said, I get really annoyed at umpires for various reasons, even if I know it's not out.
Yeah.
And it's sort of been good to put yourself into the umpire's shoes, see what they feel like when the bowler's copied to you or the batsman mutters something to you as they walk past. So yeah, and plus you learn a lot of rules as well, because just recently, last season, there was an occasion where the ball was bowled sort of just outside the pitch. And in international cricket, that would be given a wide.
Yeah.
But in our leagues, we had to give that a no ball because of the pitch and the ground were uneven. If it hit the side of the pitch and came back and hit the stumps, we couldn't give that out because it hit sort of a irregular part outside the pitch.
Okay.
So there's many rules that were sort of altered in our league.
Like a local rule, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So it's not just international rules, because I was going by international rules and I thought I knew everything. And then the guys
right.
in the upper grade, they came and sort of whispered into my ear saying, yeah, this is why we do it that way.
Okay, yeah, so you've got to be aware of the difference between the local rules and the actual laws themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so there's sort of, you have a bit of study to do there.
Mm. Do you ever see much, do you get much dissent? I mean, is there much sort of arguing with the umpire and that kind of thing?
Basically, in the teams I've been, there hasn't been anything really. But if there's sort of a blatant decision that's gone the other way, then people do sort of cry out a bit. But it's generally pretty good in our leagues. We can't complain at the moment. Plus, in our junior leagues, we used to get official umpires as well. So coming into the, sort of the senior teams and having it like this is a bit strange to start with.
And how do you deal with players who give you a bit of jip if you give something not out, you know, bowler who gets upset when you give an LBW decision not out or something like that? How do you deal with something like that?
Well, Dave, we got a sort of document at the start of the year for all players umpiring. It basically said that if anyone sort of is being too rude to you, just not to say anything bad, try not to tear them up. And if it's really offensive, then you're allowed to report them after the game as well.
Mm.
So I think players know where the line is and they know the consequences if they cross the line. So it's been pretty good so far.
Okay, but you don't get that very often. It's not something you see that much, I take it. Everyone plays in the right spirit in your experience, do they?
Yeah, well, it's Australia, David. That's how it is.
Play hard, but play fair.
Yeah, that's right. Plus, I don't think the guys are that. I mean, if I was umpiring a grade game or something, which is really high level, I think players would take it a bit seriously there. But here, they know that it's serious. Let the spirit get out of hand.
Right, yeah.
And it's generally played pretty well. Okay, we have again Ian Pond, the fast bowling guru, who's also a Pitch Vision Academy coach with a fast bowling tip for us again. So let's have a listen to what Ian's got for us this week.
Hi Ian, welcome back.
Hi David.
When teaching total beginners, say in a group coaching situation, how do you go about teaching a strong action from scratch?
Right, well, if they're total beginners, and I assume by that you're saying they've had no cricket experience whatsoever, it's actually quite challenging for any coach because you're trying to look to work with something. So what I would say is that you have to get them in certain positions that are non-negotiable. And I use something called the four tent peg positions and or the four key points of the bowling action. And for me, they're back foot impact, front foot impact, ball release, and follow through. So the reason I start off on back foot impact is once your back foot's landed, you can change any other part of your bowling action, but you can't change your back foot position.
Mm.
So what I would do is, if they never played before, just get them to run up and have a go and just see where their back foot points. And from there, I would build the action based on whether their back foot landed sideways or front on or semi. And then I would try and stack up their action to match that. So the hips and shoulders are level. So mm-hmm. on back foot impact, they're landing in the right position. On front foot impact, they're looking like a star shape with their arms pointing one to target, one to the sight screen in like mm-hmm. a star shape. On release of the ball, their chest and hips are facing forward, their head's in a line, and they're releasing the ball as a high five above their own bowling hip.
Mm-hmm.
And follow through, they're using their legs, arms, heads, head, shoulders to rotate out of the crease towards the target in a straight line. So the big thing for me with people who have never played cricket before is straight lines, getting into four key positions. And in a very strange way, if they've never played cricket before, they sometimes find that a lot easier because there's no baggage to start with.
Hmm.
But it's always a challenge with youngsters. I mean, I try to avoid absolute beginners, but I have worked with them. And I found that if you give them the good stuff from the start, they pick it up very quickly. But that's what I'd say, is the four positions and straight lines. Once they do that, you're pretty much on a good road to start with.
And if you want coaching from Ian Ponce, you can access Pitch Vision Academy's How to Bowl Faster coaching course on www.pitchvision.com/academy. Welcome to the listeners' question section for this week. And this week, our theme is on laws and umpiring.
Mm.
So, David, our first question says, I was bowling and my friend defended the ball. Being a fast bowler, I thought of sledging by throwing the ball. I threw the ball, but it hit the batsman's bat, and the bat hit the stumps, and the bails were removed. I made an appeal for a hit wicket. Is it out or not out? David, what's your thoughts on this? I'm going not out.
Yeah, I think before we start answering these questions, we just have to say that neither of us are qualified umpires, right? I mean, I've got an unhealthy interest in all things cricket, but I'm not actually a qualified umpire. So I think we're probably just going to have to, on all these questions, we're just going to have to say what we think and hope that we get to somewhere close to the answer, right, Kev?
That's right.
Okay, yeah, so what were you saying? You were saying you think that it's not out.
Yeah, I'm going not out.
Yeah, I think it's not out as well. And the reason I think it's not out, certainly in terms of hit wicket, is that the hit wicket law says that you have to either be preparing to receive the ball, receiving the ball, or setting off for the first run to be out hit wicket.
Yeah.
Now, in all of he'd received the ball, the bowler had picked it up and threw it back at the stumps towards him, so he couldn't have been out hit wicket. Because he wasn't.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't any of those three. So the only other question is, could he have been run out? Now, I don't think he could have been run out because it was the bat that hit the stumps, wasn't it? Not the ball.
Yeah.
So it has to be the ball that hit the stump. And so even if he was standing out of his crease, it wouldn't have been out, run out, because it's got to be the ball that breaks the stumps. So
yeah.
I think my decision on that one would be not out, Kev. I think I agree with you there. Yeah?
Green light.
Yeah, we're okay. Yeah.
All right, David, our next question says, in a match, the ball slipped on delivery and landed, and it rolled at a stop almost at a point, and the batsman charged at it and hit it through the point fielder for four. We, the fielding side, claimed to the umpire that the ball was dead or a no ball. He signaled four, which is correct. Now, David, based on what it said, I think that he was right in signaling a four. What would you say?
The law's changed, I think, on this one relatively recently. I mean, it's been a few years since it changed, but I'm pretty sure that relatively recently the law's changed on this. That's why if you go onto YouTube, you can see footage of, I think it's Alan Border smashing one for four, or Alex Stewart, or I can't remember. Anyway, but it's the ball just sort of flies up in the air and you can just run out and smash it before the fielder's got a chance to get there. But you can't do that anymore. That law's changed. If the ball comes to a stop, a complete stop, before it reaches the wickets, then it's immediately it's a no ball. It can't roll along the ground. It can't be underarm unless it's previously agreed by both captains. It can't bounce more than twice. On the third bounce, it's automatically a no ball. And also, if it stops,
okay,
it's a no ball. So in this case, that was the umpire made the wrong decision there. It has to be signalled as a no ball, and then the ball is re-bowled.
Beautiful. You know your stuff, David.
Oh, to be fair, I looked that one up before before we started. So,
right, David, our next question says that I wanted to know if when her batsman displayed a defensive shot and the ball is about to hit the stumps, can he block the ball from hitting the stumps by his legs or his bat? So, David, you're the batsman here. What would you reckon? I think it should be okay because he's protecting himself from getting balls. So once he plays a shot, he's protecting the ball from hitting the stumps. I think it should be because I've seen that a few times as well. What would you say?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There, you can use your legs or your bat to knock the ball away, or your foot or whatever, to knock the ball away from the stumps. If it's going on to hit the stumps, that's perfectly fine. As long as you're doing it in defence of your wicket, that's fine. Now, there's a little proviso on that. You can't use your hand. If you use your hand, that's handled the ball. There was a situation early on in the Ashes. I think it was in the Ashes. Yeah, it was this year. It seems so long ago now.
Yeah.
That Kevin Peterson almost picked the ball. The ball's rolling back onto the stumps, and he almost picked it up. Because he wasn't thinking. He was just going to pick it up to throw it back to the fielder or whatever. And he didn't. If there'd have been appeal, then if he'd have picked it up when there was an appeal, that would have been outhandled the ball. So you can't use your hand to do it, and also you can't use it to try and gain an advantage. So if you hit the ball away and then set off for a run, that's hit the ball twice. Yep. That's if they appealed, he'd be out for hit the ball twice. So if you kick the ball away and run off for a run, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that you would be out for obstructing the field in that instance. So the short answer is yes, you can, but as long as you're doing it in defence of your wicket and you're not trying to gain an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I think I've seen an example of that, David, in the India vs Pakistan game. It's not exactly an example, but when one of the fielders chucked it back at the stumps, Inzamam sort of blocked the ball with his bat and the Indian players appealed and he was given out, so... Yeah, batsmen should be wary.
That's slightly different. If it's a run out or something like that, and you're trying to stop the ball hitting the stumps, then you could be out for obstructing the field there. I saw that in a game last year in the Club 2020 final in Cardiff. The batsman. I don't know if I told you this story before. The batsman. Stopped himself being run out by blocking the fielder's throw with his legs. He was well out of his ground, and he played the ball back to the bowler, and the bowler threw the ball at the stumps underarm, and he just got in the way of it. He just put his legs in the way of it, and then on appeal, he was given out in the field. So, be careful. Be careful what you're doing there. Don't. Be unfair. That's the trick there, really.
Yeah. All right, our next question is from Nathan David, and he says, I was watching my brother's side play a semi-final last week, and the best batsman for the opposition was given out run out. As the batsman was annoyed that he was run out, he noticed the bails had landed back onto the stumps, but the umpire said it was out because the bail did dislodge. I was just wanting to know if the umpire was correct. Should he have been given out? David, I think that should be not out because I'm pretty sure in the rules that the bails have to be completely dislodged and that if they sort of land back onto the stumps, it's not out.
That's right. I've had to look this one up as well, and you're absolutely right there. It's Law 28, the wicket is put down. And the law clearly says that the wicket is put down if the bail is completely removed from the top of the stump. So that's pretty clear. Now, it's been clarified as well. It doesn't say it in the laws, but it's also been clarified as well. If the bail comes off and then lands back on again, then that is not out. And in fact, if you're ever so lucky as for the bail to just sort of come out of its groove, that's as long as it stays on top of the stumps, that's fine. Also, in fact, if the bail flies up and then amazingly, miraculously, sort of lands on top of one of the stumps. Sort of balancing on the top of one of the stumps. that also would be not out because the bail hasn't been completely removed. So that was the wrong decision there. The bail does have to be completely removed. Interestingly, if you if the bail sort of gets trapped halfway down the stumps, if you imagine sort of the bail trapped on the stumps about halfway down, again, unlikely that that would happen, but you never know. That counts as out. That counts as out because the bail's been completely removed from the top of the stumps.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And I also had a related question to that, which was what happens if the bales fly up in the air, cross in the air, and then land on the opposite grooves? Well, I think the answer to that would be that would never happen. I can't imagine how that would ever happen. I mean, that's got to defy laws of physics, doesn't it, doing that?
Cricket is.
Yeah, exactly. So, also related to that as well, what do you do if the if both bales are removed? How do you get someone out of both bales removed? Do you know what you need to do there, Kev?
I think you'd have to break the stumps, wouldn't you?
You can break the stumps with the ball. You have to knock a stump out of the ground with the ball. Or you can pull a stump out of the ground, provided that the stump and the ball are in the same hand. You can't pull the stump out one hand and have the ball in the other hand, or you can knock it out of the ground, or you can throw the ball at the stump and knock it out of the ground. But as long as it comes completely out of the ground, then that's out.
All right, David. Question number 5 for today is. Says that I played a game recently where there were no appointed umpires. I volunteered to umpire while my team were batting and turned down a number of close decisions, including two that would have hit the stumps or pitched outside the line of leg stump. Each decision was met with increased aggression by the opposition. At first, this was vocal, undirected grumbling about the ball knocking down all three. However, the last decision resulted in the bowler despairing, shouting at me, asking what he had to do to get a wicket. I calmly informed him that it was not out and why, confident in my decision making. However, was this the right course of action considering the level of behaviour? David, behaviour issue. Have you experienced any similar situations?
Yeah.
I personally think he went about the right way because it wouldn't be right for the umpire to yell back and sort of have a go at the bowler. But yeah, I think he did the right thing.
Absolutely. I mean, there's not as umpire, you know, there's not much that you can do, really. I mean, I've been in a situation like that, you know, where the bowler gets frustrated, and it's not necessarily getting frustrated with you. He may not know the law, you know. He may not know the law that says if the ball pitches outside leg stump, it can't be given out LBW, for example. You know, if he doesn't know that law, if he just thinks all I've got to do is the ball's going to be hitting the stumps, then you know, you can't really win in that situation. The key, I think, I from my limited experience of umpiring, I think the key is to try and, you know, as soon as you are out there, you know, try and sort of build up a relationship with the bowler, as in, you know, you're talking to him and you're not being kind of this stern enforcer of the laws. You're someone who, you know, all you want to do is be fair. And as long as the bowler gets the impression that you're just trying to be fair, you're not trying to cheat anybody.
Yeah.
You're just trying to be as fair as you can possibly be, then I think that's okay. But if it does get a little bit out of hand like that, yeah, I think there's not much you could do apart from remain calm and as much as possible try and remain cool, because what you don't want to do is let that affect you for the next time there's an LBW appeal and you just give it out straight away because you thought, oh my God, I made a mistake, now I've got to make up for that mistake. So you give out.
Yeah,
You know. So it's a little bit like playing, really, isn't it, in that you've got to just focus on what's happening for that particular ball and put all those other thoughts and feelings out of your mind and just stay focused. So but it can be hard when you're being put under pressure by a bowler who feels hard done by.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, have you ever been in a situation like that, Kev?
I've had people grumble on the way back to their mindset, but no one's really sort of yelled back. But yeah, every time they do, you sort of just have to keep silent. And as I said, like, if it really gets out of hand, you can always report them. But nothing's ever happened that bad yet. It's been really lucky.
Yeah, I mean, most leagues have got some kind of reporting system. And, of course, the other thing is you can, if it's really bad, then you can sort of have a quiet word with the captain.
Yeah,
that's usually a good thing to do. Sort of take a, because you can't argue with the bowler who's getting angry about it, but maybe you can just speak to the captain really and just say, look, you know, he's putting me under a lot of pressure here. I all I want to do is be fair.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather he didn't sort of, okay, if he doesn't agree with my decision, that's fair enough, but I'd rather he didn't say anything about it, you know, if you can have a word with him perhaps and sort of try and smooth it over that way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, David, our next question says, in a crucial IPL encounter between the Rajasthan Royals and Mumbai Indians, there was a short play to the deep square leg region and the batsman settled for one. However, the return throw was wild and it hit the square leg umpire. The batsman scampered for another run. This was allowed. I would like to know whether the umpiring decision of awarding the extra run is correct. And David, I'm not sure on this rule. Was the umpire correct in awarding the extra run?
Yeah, as far as I know, and I haven't looked this one up, so don't take my word as gospel on this one. But as far as I know, the umpire is counted as exactly the same as a stump. Or the stumps, I should say.
Okay.
In that if the ball strikes the stumps and then flies off somewhere else, then the ball is still live.
Yeah.
The ball's still in play. So you can carry on there. Anything can happen. A wicket can fall or more runs can be scored. So if the ball hits either umpire. Now, I think the only exception to that would be if the umpire was seriously injured. In the case of serious injury, the laws are quite clear on that. In the case of any kind of, well, pretty much any kind of injury, really, but, you know, any kind of injury which would stop the umpire being able to do his duties, then the striker's end, the bowler's end umpire would call and signal dead ball immediately. So, you know, there'd be no, the play would stop and we'd make sure that the umpire had got the attention that he needed, you know, maybe just needs a second to recover or whatever. So, but as long as the umpire was okay, and I assume he was okay in this match, then he just counts as a stump and you carry on.
All right, David, our final question for today says, in the final ball of a club match, the last batsman was at the crease. He needed to stay in to rescue a draw. As the bowler delivered the ball, the batsman dropped his bat and held the bails down onto the stumps. The ball struck the off stump, but the bails remained held down and were not moved. What is the correct decision of the umpire? David, this is a strange one. He could have just blocked this, but anyway.
Yeah, he didn't want to take the risk. He didn't want to take the risk, did he? He obviously thought, oh, I know, I'll make sure I can't be out. So what would your decision have been there, Kev?
Well, I would have given it out basically, David, because that's the strangest thing I would ever seen. That's bound to be illegal. And if there is a rule that proves me wrong, I will basically give up cricket.
I'm pretty sure it is. It's obstructing the field, I think. You're not allowed to gain an unfair advantage by obstructing the field. Let me look this one up. I've got my laws here. Hang on. Law 37. Either batsman is out obstructing the field if he willfully obstructs or distracts the opposing side by word or action. So there we go. I think that.
That's fair enough.
I think willfully obstructing the opposing side by action sums up putting your hands over the bail so they don't fall off. So he'd be out obstructing the field and he would have lost the game.
Don't forget that you can catch all the articles, updates, forums, and anything you hear about on the show on www.pitchvision.com. Stay tuned for our next show on the 18th of September, with the theme being coaching. And so if your coaches and players out there have any questions at all, or feedback to add to that, or anything in general, please email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next time. So signing off from Sydney, Australia, this is Kevin Sampath.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.
The My Cricket Coach Show is a copyright-protected production for Pitch Vision. For more information, please visit pitchvision.com.